This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Sarah Love and Mice Diggy on FUBAR Radio.
Finally, the best drop ever. You have never heard a drop like this drop. This is a world premiere. Yo, what's good? Sir William Brimstone up in here, Jest, with the family. FUBAR Radio, Mice Diggy, DJ Sarah Love. It's the hip hop show. Keep it locked in. Peace.
Exactamundo.
Oh. Featuring Pharoah Monch on that cut. Intelligence and Daniel McLean. Lessons is the name of the song, and it's produced by Nuts. And that's the first taster from the album dropping this summer called Timeless.
Timeless.
And we need to send a special shout out to Helen locked into the show. We love you, Helen.
Shout out to Helen. What's going on, girl?
And shouts out to you guys, and shouts out to Ian Boldsworth. Because he's been looking after you for the last 2 hours.
So you said that wrong. Shouts out to man
Shouts
out to man like Ian Bolesworth.
Oh
yeah, let's get that right.
I hope you didn't hear that. Yeah.
Especially after the special weekend we had. Very special weekend.
Very special indeed.
You know what I mean?
And yes, if you listen, if you missed his show or any of the past Fubar shows, hit up the website. Last week we had a jam show. We spoke to the one and only Rev Run of Run DMC, Akua Naru, and so much more. So if you missed that, hit up foodbarradio.com/shows/hip-hop. And it's more of the same today, people. We treat you good here, man.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, we have Awate. He's going to be live in the studio with us. He's got a really dope new album out. We're also going to be joined by Barker. So we'll be chatting with him and finding out what's fresh. We have some newness for you as well. We're going to be crossing that thin line later in the show, but more on that coming up. We've also got a gig guide for you, as well as the open mic, as we do every week, and we want to hear from you guys as well. So hit us up at Fubar Radio, and you can also email hiphop@fubarradio.com as well. So much cool new music to play for you as well. Maybe we'll see if we fit in some Swellington Piff. Maybe we'll fit in some Little Fame of MOP for you. But first, let's hit you with something brand new from that Royce the 5'9" solo album. Have you heard this yet, Mice?
What's it called? He says it's his most personal piece of work yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. Book of Ryan.
That's it, Book of Ryan. Yeah.
So, yes, no, I'm feeling it. But what are you thinking? Let us know. By the way, it's myself, Sarah Love.
And myself, the voice of Chocolate Velvet Cake. That's right, mother lovers. Mice Diggy.
Yeah, we don't want to do anything to scare your children. That's the last thing we want to do.
I'm no longer a prospect, I'm what you call a veteran, legend man, I'm a prophet. You ain't no artist, you what I would call a concept, made to inspire gossip like Shade Room or like Bossip. Welcome to the Grammys where your likeness get used for promo hypeness and views. Okay, I hope that you knowin' that if you voted, you might as well, and I voted for no one. They knew when they made that category where that trophy was going. All this industry shit is, there ain't no middle class. Raise your glass, here's the classism. Either you a rich ass nigga or you's a bum. There ain't no in between. Sinners sell their souls, angels sell their halos and their wings. I had dreams of fucking the R&B chick. Then I found out that R&B chick already had a dick. Already slept with your favorite rapper, aren't we sick? You start as an artist and turn to alcoholic and quit. This shit is, man, I wish I would let a nerd who work it in the scope in a coat by Kenneth Cole consult me about my image, bro. I'm the best rapper out this bitch, except the only catch is that I'm in this hoe.
Oh, they so dumb.
So dumb.
How nothing that they do is new. They so dumb.
So dumb. Yeah.
Oh, they so dumb. They ain't fooling me or you. They so dumb.
Let's bring the punches back. And sleeping fake woke niggas that had to come to that. I love promoting elevation in the space that all my brothers at. Now why I'm lying, I be turned up to these mumble raps. Watch where you coming at, don't be this where Confucius started thugging at. This Metro Boomin mixed with Thundercat. This where my niggas gain they muscle at. Somebody eating off your plate, how you gon' stomach that? Cause of that, all my niggas is like how we get to this, yeah. Man, I turn basic into intricate. I kill you with my simple shit. No tweeting when we kicking it. Don't tell me what you finna get. Silly, you could drown without a membership. Watch who you swimming with. It's 10 of us riding up on this city bus. Sinning, trying to hit for a scripture like it's Leviticus. Tackling reality, praying that it don't injure us. I love my niggas, but it's really us. When we gon' notice that we so.
Living what you've done, messing with my faith. Guess you think that I'm so dumb. No, I won't be the one. Bullets from your tongue, shooting round my way, trying to kill me off for fun. No, I won't be the one. Live with what you've done, messing with my faith. Guess you think that I'm so dumb. No, I won't be the one. Bullets from your tongue, shooting round my way, trying to kill me off for fun. No, I won't be the one.
Mmm. Royce the 5'9", Dumb is the name of that cut. It features Boogie. It's produced by S1, and that's from the new solo Royce album called Book Orion. It's out right now on his own label, Heaven Studios. He's got Eminem on there, Jadakiss, J. Cole, Pusha T, and Robert Glasper.
See, what a mix. Look at the mixture that he's got on there. That's amazing, man. You got Eminem, you know, Jada, Lox, J. Cole, which is the new, you know, whatever. Pusha T. No, you know what I mean. No. Like, everybody goes crazy about him and the dreadlocks. This is the dreadlocks part that cracks me up. When rappers blow up, they grow
the
dreadlocks.
The nappy head, yeah.
And then Robert Glasper. Do you know what I mean? That's like, that's a balance. That's what we try and do here on the hip hop show, is give you a lot of balance. You know what I mean? Not too much this way, not too much that way.
And it's all like high level business there, features. And like, you can see that's those features also kind of show the confidence that Royce has. Like, for him to like be like, yeah, come on, okay, let's bring Pusha T, Eminem, J. Cole through.
Jadakiss is like, well, okay. But Royce is that on that level. So it's beautiful to see, man.
Definitely.
And amazing work ethic as well, man, because I feel like the Prime 2 album just came out 2 days ago or some shit.
Exactly. And to be honest, I think I do prefer the from just this quick listen through. It's too soon to say, but on the first listen, I'm feeling this this album. So check it out. We'll be playing you all of that good stuff over the weeks as it comes up. Welcome to the show, people. And you know, we like to always spread those positive vibes. And you know, I was remembering over this weekend, well, first of all, very important.
Big up, big up.
It was Malcolm X's birthday at the weekend.
X. Not DMX. Not Exhibit.
The original.
Malcolm X, bitch.
Yeah.
Not even Mia X. Do you know who Mia X is?
No, what's Mia X? School me.
No, you know the No Limit. Don't you remember Master P with the... That's what I thought it'd be a funny question.
That's like
to
vague memory. Damn. I've had 15 minutes. But yeah, so he would have been 93 years old on the 19th of May.
Wow.
Yeah. What an amazing dude. I mean, go and check him out. So many cool phrases, sayings from him and everything as well. But I just feel he's an important figure who literally gave his life for the cause that he believed in. Shouts out to Grace Jones as well. It was her birthday this weekend too.
Wow.
Yeah.
How old is she?
I'm not sure, actually. I thought I'd spare her, you know, being a lady and everything. Like, she's
age. True that, yeah. I shouldn't even be asking, innit?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I think also it's important on this show that we keep it real by shouting out people like Malcolm X and by spreading that positivity, because there's so many good things going on in the world. And something I was thinking about this weekend was... Well, first I'd just like to send a...
Big up, big up!
Yep.
To when you would learn stuff from listening to hip-hop.
Ah, that's a good one.
You know?
Well, you know, I ain't going to lie. I've learned a few things, Sarah, so I can't sit here and say, you know what I mean, that I'm not learning about how to cheat on my wife. I'm not learning about...
How to cook crack.
Yeah, how to cook crack and shit. So there's still a lot I'm learning right now. And I actually learned how to floss over the weekend. It's something you might not never know nothing about.
No.
It's a new dance. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's all I'm saying. So go on. Anyway, as you're saying.
Yeah, lots of bad dances that I learned from hip hop. Lots of cool dances as well.
Yeah, flossing's pretty cool.
You flossing
can do it,
is cool.
You can do it as good as I can.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But yeah, those days where it's like you learn actual vocabulary from listening to hip hop that made me, because I remember listening to certain tunes and then I was like, okay, I actually need to hit up the dictionary and find out what he's.
It was lit. About. It was lit, right?
It was turned. It was extremely.
It was
turned.
Rather turned.
And I think that's a wonderful thing, because like having expanding your vocabulary, that's helping you not only to articulate your feelings.
Well, now.
Yeah.
Careful there.
You know, but it's just it's such an important tool that I think often people get clowned for having a vocabulary. And there ain't no shame in it. It's something to be celebrated. And I will never forget certain words that I've learned just purely as a result of some rappers. But this kind of helps lead us nicely into a new section on the show. And it's time for Word of the Week. This week is all about effervescence.
Take it back to the essence, to the gems in the palm. Ah, effervescence.
Do you remember these tunes? Nice and smooth. Old to the new. Do you need to hear that one more time? Effervescence, Mice.
What does it mean? Let me just find out.
So effervescence. Well, that little clip there, that was from Nice and Smooth. The track of there is called Old to the New, which I absolutely adore as well. But effervescence, when I heard Greg Nice say that, that was one I definitely went to the dictionary. I was like, what is he talking about? Mm. So effervescence is to give off bubbles, as in like in fermenting liquors. But it's also used to show like enthusiasm, excitement, and just hypeness.
So he was filled with such effervescence.
Exactly.
My man said it in a rap song though.
In it. He said, effervescence.
You know what I mean? Man, try to learn another lesson. Yeah, that's right. And feel the effervescence. Nah, you can pull it off. Yeah, all right.
What, do you want to hear that clip one more time? I think you missed it first time round. This is from Old to New.
Take it back to the essence, to the gems in the palm. Ah, effervescence.
Oh, yeah. I was like, that sounds so cool.
See?
Effervescence is cool, man.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's our celebration of this week's Word of the Week. And coming up, we're going to be stepping over that thin line. So stay tuned to FUBAR Radio to find out what that's about. But, you know, I love this song so much. It was only correct that we hear it properly in its entirety. This is Old to the New.
This is how we take the old from the new, the new to the old, the old from the new. This is
Smooth, teaching us some vocab there. This is the Hip Hop Show with myself, Sarah Long.
And myself, Mice Diggy. For all you bitches and bitchettes out there, do remember we never discriminate. Whether you're a bitch or a bitchette, it doesn't matter. This is for you. This is exactly what this radio show on the Sharewaves is for. The Hip Hop Show right here on FUBAR. You bitches and bitchettes. I just wanted to clarify that. And this is the moment where we reach that thin line. You know what that thin line is? That thin line where ignorance and intelligence meets. And obviously, I'm the intel... All right, my bad. But yeah, man, we thought it... Because there's a lot of times where, you know, I'm speaking to people and they want to know my opinion on certain things. And I want to tell them. When I do, then they're like, rah, bruv, you should do the deal. You should blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I'm that important to do that. But this show is definitely that important that we should discuss. So I was like, yeah, it's a good idea if we get each other's opinions on these situations, especially being that we had such a great weekend. Do you know what I mean? The sun was shining. The roads was quiet.
I know.
The roads was quiet on Saturday. I was like, yo, I was going to walk around bareback just to see if I could get away with it. Like, fully.
You know what? Actually, there was an important
big up
to all the people out there who didn't even know that this royal wedding was happening this weekend. Like my best friend.
Oh, there's enough people didn't know.
Who was in the West End? She was like, "Yeah, it's really quiet. I have no idea, but there's not really anyone out or anything like that." But really, an important key question that came out of the events this weekend was: are the royal family controlling the weather?
Yeah, my wife said that as well. I was like, really? You're going that far with it? Like, people are getting deep with the conspiracy shit. I don't blame them because I watched the highlights. Yeah, I didn't sit there and watch the whole thing.
Me neither.
I weren't, you know what I mean? There was too much sun out there. And I seriously was thinking about walking up the high street bareback. But what I noticed was they kind of went a bit over the top. It felt a bit like too, like, hey, you guys are, you know, come on, move in. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was waiting for the Welcome to Wakanda sign outside. It felt a bit too much. I didn't get to see the preacher dude. Apparently, there was a black preacher that went on for 30 minutes.
Okay. Oh, good God. Y'all need to realize and recognize one thing. You know what I'm saying?
And then you had the choir. It was like, yeah, hey, you guys, look at this choir. They look like you. You know, it was all a bit like that. And then there was the dude with the band or whatever. But it seemed like he was the main focal point. Guess what color he was? You're damn right. Yeah, so it all felt a little bit, you know what I mean? For me, just a little bit contrived. We all know, like, I think everybody understands there's been a memo put out. You know, I was even part of that memo. I ain't even, you know what I mean? But where it was like, yo, we got to diversify what's going on out here, guys. Like, we can't pretend that these people aren't here no more. And then now, you know what I mean? Now you got, like, Wakanda's in the village. Or is that how you put it?
Up in the
house.
There's
vibranium
in the house.
There's vibranium up in the palace, bro.
No, but diversify, but to a point. Because, I mean, I'm guessing there wasn't any... like, to have like, that's got to be one of the quietest black weddings, like, that has ever happened in history. Because there were certain points where it was, richest, like, crickets,
That's got to be the most expensive black wedding ever.
Oh, I don't know.
Do you even call it a black wedding, though?
Nigeria. Like, they go in.
Yeah?
Like, some... Yeah.
But that's stolen money, they ain't.
that's completely different to the royal family's
straight,
money source.
Well, yeah, actually.
It's completely different. And, but yeah, it was just like crickets and tumbleweed at certain points in there, man, where I was just like,
even though
normally we'd be whooping and cheering.
Yeah, true. There would have been a bit more noise. I mean, like I said, I didn't see what the preacher did, but apparently he went way over the top. But, you know.
But, I mean, people weren't like, hallelujah, yeah, woo, 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 in there.
Nah. What was he rearing up? Was he like, yeah, and y'all need to realize and recognize one thing?
I only saw like maybe a five-second clip, but I never saw like any response in any of the clips that I saw. The other clip that I saw was the
oh,
Queen.
Oh, yeah,
looking...
he was going on about love.
Aww.
See what love is, you know what I'm saying? Love is when two people come together in holy matrimony.
Regardless of color.
Yeah. It don't matter the color, you know what I'm saying? Look, we here now.
Yeah, I don't know. But this is what was really weird about that situation as well, was the fact that, all right, Kate was hating. Kate Middleton was hating. Oh, you look at her face, she was hating. She was like, rah, my wedding. Yeah, all right, those kids, just shut the fuck up.
No, like, she looked like someone who has two children under the age of five.
She's got
that's
three.
What she looked like.
Yo, she's got three kids. She's got three kids now.
Say, three.
Yeah,
see, that's
she looked like someone who just gone all the way in way too early, innit?
Aww.
How can you have that many kids
no,
in 5 years?
That's the best way to do it, though, in quick succession, because then you get it all out of the way. They all entertain each other.
And they all
and
stress
then
you
move
out.
On in your life.
She looks stressed. She looked like she was hating. That's how stressed she was.
Poor girl.
I don't know if she was, but we, you know, in our household, we was like, yeah, she's a hater. Then the Queen. Let's talk about the Queen and what's his name? Prince Philip.
But this,
why is
I'm
he still a prince? Like, he's old as fuck.
No. But no, that's why I'm wondering. Do you think they told Prince Philip that she's back?
What is he? Let me. What is he the prince of exactly? Like, cause
no,
I,
that's his title. So,
oh.
For example, she's Meghan is Duchess of whatever, and so is Kate
of Sussex, isn't it?
Something
it's getting
like
all
that.
Old school, man. Like, I felt like
he
I was watching.
Sussex,
Duke
of Edinburgh. That's
who?
Him, Philip, Prince Philip.
So he's a
the
prince.
The biggest one, yeah.
But okay. He's a Duke of
Edinburgh. He's got as many titles as he wants because you know.
And then look, you see the
he
rings around
the
eyes. That's some
I mean, he's like 96 or something. But the Queen
yeah,
is like, you see, this
vampire
is,
years. What's 96 in vampire years? Let's Google that right quick.
No, but genuinely, I feel sorry for
Jesus.
The royal family. I know it's not like a popular idea, but like, imagine how whack it must be to be part of that family. Like, you're, how limited your life is. Like, you're a prisoner in your own life. Mm. How do you know any, like, you know, the Queen has no friends. You know, it, like, imagine if you're
that
Prince
dude.
William or Prince Harry, how difficult it is to make friends. How do you know if someone
yeah.
actually wants to be your friend because they're digging you as a person and they like that hot 16 that you kicked or they're just sycophantically, like, sucking up, you know?
I think Harry, he's got a few black friends, though, innit? He's the kind of like, yeah, I'm a bit more down than the rest of these lot, innit? Yeah, he's kind
know.
Of, he's like millennial. He's got that whole millennial thing. And... them two look quite different, man. Like, it was only yesterday watching the video. I was like, right, they do look quite different, boy. Like, I wouldn't put it past, you know.
Well, that's the other conspiracy,
And then he's just like, look, I'm marrying outside of this shit. I can't get involved with what you lot are doing. He looked like he was worried about her. Like, she's like, oh, my God, I'm going to become a princess. Is that, I didn't do that American accent that well, but she's like, yo, I'm going to become a princess. This is amazing, blah, blah, blah. He's like, shit, man, I hope I ain't fucked up here, you know. This happened to that one, allegedly, blah, 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 and more allegedly just in case, because I don't want to die too soon yet.
But I think I feel sorry for her because it's kind a lot of people who want to become famous or something. I'm not sure they understand what they're signing up to. I'm not saying that that's the case with Meghan Markle.
Yeah, but she got to cut off all her brethren.
But
you can't
you know,
chat
you
to
have
no
to
one.
Give up your career.
Yeah.
You're... everything
your
you
life.
Do, everything you do, no matter what you're doing, where, when you're doing things, is a matter of public interest. And it's also a matter of national security. Like, how whack is that to not be able to say, oh, should we go for a walk and have some tea? Or, oh, let's run down and just do some window shopping on Oxford Street. Or let's, like,
but
go for a swim.
How long have they been together? Not to put it out there like, right, you lot,
I'm
that was a bit quick.
Expert.
But,
I'm not an expert.
You know, in terms of... does she understand what she's, you know, what she's... because she has to cut off everyone. So not just the acting and all that, but all her friends that... were her friends even at the wedding? I don't know.
That's what I
mean. Was it just celebrity friends? When I saw George Clooney, I was like, what the fuck is
like,
he doing?
Like, you know they ain't texting like, oh my God, did you see Kanye's last tweet? Like, they're not friends like that. Come on. Like, has Prince Harry really got friends? Like, this is the
I reckon
problem
he's
of
got...
being famous and being on that level where people have a duty to be nice to you. Like, it's whack. And then also, have it... if you have to consider the possibility of being sniped out on your wedding day, like, that's not the vibe, man.
Ooh, like, do you think she was worried about that?
£43 million was spent on security at the taxpayers' cost for this wedding.
For security? That wasn't even the wedding.
And I think that was the largest cost of the wedding. So
that long-ass dress, man. What the hell? What's going on? I was like, yo, she's about to drop on them stairs any minute now. You don't need a dress that fucking long, man. What the hell was going on there?
She looked quite focused to make sure she wasn't dropping. But yeah, I think what was the dress like? 400,000 maybe, and
we paid for that.
Cake was 200,000. I'm not sure about that, but I know they did put a statement out saying they were going to pay for elements of the wedding.
Who
but
were
the Harry and
yeah, that's
Marple,
our money though.
No, they personally would. But the biggest one, the biggest expense that I've seen anyway, which was 43 million, was on security.
Oh man, I could have got some work, boy.
No, 43 security, million, yeah. And but yeah, so I think it's not necessarily all it's cracked up to be, but I've never been so excited before at the prospect of a royal baby. Like,
are
I just want to see them afros on.
They ain't gonna be no afro. That girl don't look black, man. Come on, let's tell the truth. She looked tan.
This is the wonderful lottery of being mixed races. You never know how it's gonna turn out, you know, because you have that skipper generation thing.
Yeah.
Where, like, the fact you think you're safe, and then suddenly the kid comes out with their blick with an orange afro, man.
Do you
which
reckon
would
that
be beautiful?
Yeah, this is what people are saying, that it's got to be like a little ginger baby, you know, like brown with ginger hair and all that.
I hope so, button because
nose.
That.
But she ain't got a button nose. That ain't a button nose. Nose, man, that's straight up.
Her and him have the same nose.
Yeah,
they look alike.
Well, you know,
they're not.
Do we have to go allegedly on this one? Because allegedly, yeah, this ain't. I don't know if this is true. FUBAR Radio definitely don't know this is true. But apparently, on YouTube, let's put it like that. Yeah, there's a YouTube videos out there saying that them two, you know what I mean, 18th removed twice, whatever. I don't even know what you meant to put in there, but yeah, they're kind of related.
Yeah, no,
and so while everyone's like, oh wow, this is amazing, you know, the monarchy are bringing in culture, and they must have got the memo.
Wow,
nah, to integrate, it's like, nah, it's the other way around. We're trying to dilute that, son. You gotta go marry her. Ooh, her. Yeah, don't worry, you lot ain't that related. Do you know what I mean? Watch Game of Thrones, you'll be cool.
Yeah, look at that. Her dress costs 400,000. But you see, the way the costs of the wedding are broken down, this is where it needs to be careful, because total spend of 32 million, total spend on what? From their pocket or spend including the security? Anyway, this is a big deal, you know, and it is an important moment of like pageantry for the whole, you know, the PR machine for Great Britain to put out to the world. I think
diversity.
They said it's like a billion people in worldwide watched it live and stuff. So
I kind of feel like, I feel a little bit like it was like, hey, we still need to be here. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no,
we're in this modern age of like,
so,
yo, what are they doing here?
Because Buckingham Palace is a well-oiled PR machine. In like the 1500s, you had the Dutch Revolution, and that basically kicked off a revolution across Europe of like dethroning all these monarchies and starting the republics and stuff. So then that led to the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution, where like the entire royal families were assassinated, killed and decapitated in front of the public. And then this is why now they don't have a royal family in France and in Russia, because people were feeling angry at this posh life they were living while people were dying in the streets. So since then, the Buckingham Palace have been very aware that they need to endear themselves to the public so the same thing doesn't happen to them. And this is when they started handing out OBEs, MBEs. So that was shortly after the Russian Revolution when they started doing that to make people like, was it Wiley who got one recently?
Yeah, but I didn't mean him.
But I mean, because then it sort of aligns the royal family with being in sync with this new generation. But all of it is PR to make sure that they don't get their heads cut off.
That's the thing I was thinking.
They're the
biggest
mafia in the country. They're one of the biggest mafias in the world. She's one of the richest women in the world. If she paid just 1%, I mean, the cost of this wedding is a drop in the ocean compared to how much money the Queen could be paying in tax per year. But she chooses not to. You know, but if she paid just a fraction, and personally, I just feel like if the Queen really cared about the well-being of British people, she would pay just a little bit of tax, and that would take the NHS off of its knees. But, you know, I understand they're a business and they're a well. So I think there's a lot of notes to take from them in terms of promoting yourself and creating a good image. Did you see this story last week, Mice, about this guy called Aaron Schlossberg?
No, what is this?
Dude was caught on camera in a restaurant, like a sandwich restaurant in New York, where he was ranting on this hate-filled rant, complaining and threatening to have the restaurant workers kicked out of his country for speaking Spanish.
Oh, I heard briefly about this, but...
It was horrible. I mean, the rant is just horrific and just super offensive. And people filmed it, obviously. Then by the powers of the internet, the footage went viral and people recognized him online. And then they realized that this is the same person who has appeared in videos filmed at far right rallies, where, again, those he's been ranting, saying like all kinds of racist and offensive stuff. And then that led to him actually being identified as a New York based lawyer, Aaron Schlossberg.
And why's he got to have a name like that, man? That's just asking to get cussed out, man. Schlossberg.
And but this social justice group, Millennials for Revolution, they raised over $1,000.
What'd you call me?
on GoFundMe to provide a mariachi band and tacos to protest outside of Aaron Schlossberg apartment in Manhattan. And over 100 people turned up and they were like waving signs, and then this mariachi band were playing. Basically, people were just saying, you know, this is Spanish is virtually the second language of New York, so it's ridiculous to complain about people speaking Spanish, and it's not illegal to speak Spanish. And electrician Chris Thompson, who believes the lawyer should be disbarred, he said, "We're basically clapping back at this fool. Know what I mean, kid?" And he said, "It's ridiculous. This is a multilingual city. He should expect to hear different languages." Fool, man.
You go to New York, you'll see Hispanic signs everywhere, you know? Spanish signs everywhere. You know what I mean? Whatever, telling you this name of this road or that avenue or blah, blah, blah. So for someone to stand there and talk like that, it's just like, whatever, bruv.
I know, that's why it was just appalling. But then also to see this guy's track record and taking part in far right things. So then the video spread online since then, and then this has been all over the internet. He's been kicked out of his office space. He's not allowed to enter the building now. And the people who own the space said, "We have terminated his service agreement with us." People have been flooding his online pages like with bad reviews, like as a lawyer and stuff. So basically, this guy's career is messed up
because
he got identified on this video. He's been like running away from press chasing him in the street and stuff. And now he could face disciplinary action after a U.S. rep sent a formal complaint to New York's lawyer oversight committee in response to his racist rant. So,
yeah, what I've seen here, there's an update, and it was Niche Music Group that he was working for, right? They fired him as their attorney in litigation against the Accord, or Orchard, sorry, and that was announced on the 19th of May. They're saying they were not aware of his views and he never expressed them to us. Yeah, like he's going to tell you, we are appalled by his comments and behaviour.
Yeah,
man,
so, but
how many more of the, you know, this is what people are saying about the fact that Trump is in power now, is that now we're going to see the real, you know, it's allowing for people who think like, oh yeah, let's all unite and go against whichever minorities, da da da.
Well, it's not just about Trump, is it? I think with power comes great responsibility. So if you have a platform like Kanye West or like Donald Trump and you're saying things, you know, which are dangerous, there's impressionable people out there who are going to... So there's a clear correlation between the kind of language that Donald Trump has been using and how certain people feel empowered to repeat those kind of words, and then how this has endangered people's lives and things. So I don't think it's even just a Trump thing. This just shows how all politicians are in terms of their kind of the poise that they have as a figure that we look up to, because clearly people like this just feel like, yeah, now's my license just to like go wild on people. But what I think is good about it is the fact that you got tracked down and hailed out. Like this isn't some unaccountable thing where you can just hide online behind a keyboard or, you know, and get away with this stuff anymore. Like people are going to stand for for what they believe. But that's also why I think it's not, we need to not be hitting this clickbait, and people who just create controversy online for their own publicity stunts, I'm not feeling it. And that's what I kind of felt about Kanye and the woman who copied the Childish Gambino This Is America video, which I didn't watch either because I'm not giving her another view on
YouTube. I didn't even know about that, to be honest. But speaking on the Childish Gambino, it's funny you mentioned them both at the same time. You got Kanye and then you got Childish Gambino. One of them is a genius. One of them is just a bit crazy. I'll let you decide. So people are asking, obviously, you know, it's to do with Kanye on his crazy rant, whatever it was, 2-3 weeks ago. And he was, to me, I feel like he was just promoting whatever was about to come out soon.
Yeah.
And it worked, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But people were like, what was weird was then you had people backing him like, yeah, you know, with this whole like slavery. He said that slavery for 400 years sounds like it was a choice.
That's appalling thing to say.
It's just the weirdest.
Such an ignorant and appalling thing
to
say.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing for someone to say. But obviously he'd say that in order to get, you know, some form of attention. And it's got him a bunch of attention. It's probably why we didn't really talk about it during the time it happened.
But what I don't like about it is I just feel that you're saying something which is really hurtful and nasty thing to say just to promote yourself, your project and to create visibility.
Part. Well, not just that, but to try and sound like some kind of genius. Like he said it like as if he's worked out some crazy matrix code and whatnot. And then so later on, people are saying what he meant to say was like, you know, mentally, where he's trying to say, like, nowadays we're mentally enslaved and blah, blah, blah. We got a break from that because we got the choice or whatever. But it's like, don't use something that when you weren't even there, you weren't on no boat being dragged from the west of Africa to wherever in America or South America or the West Indies. You weren't there to even. So when you're saying it sounds like a choice. Maybe keep that in your own dumb, you know what I mean, that peanut head. Just keep it there. Like, don't say it for, like, people who's still struggling from that now, who are still dealing with that kind of...
Slavery is happening today. Yeah,
like, you're saying it. But this is the guy, you got to remember that. This is the get out dude. Like, think about who he was when everyone loved him and everyone, you know, people who knew he wasn't... They were like, okay, this guy can make good beats. Hey, yeah, look, College Dropout, I like that.
He's a musical genius.
Jesus Walks.
He made Gold Digger. He's a musical genius.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. But, you know, from that guy, and then now you've married, like, you know, a woman who got famous off of being banged out by Ray J, of all people as well. By Ray J.
It's all Ray J's fault.
You know what I mean? But think about that. And then I didn't realize that the whole Kanye thing is like he's a rebel. He's a... You know, I didn't realize that from that's what his thing has been from the beginning. So when they were saying, no, we just want your beats, you can't really rap. He's like, no, I can rap. Oh, he got signed as a rapper. When they said you can't do a song about Jesus or whatever, he did it. And he didn't even write that song. But let's not even get into that.
But also, I just think what you're seeing with someone like Kanye is this is someone going through a mental breakdown.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the amount of pressure you're under being
in with
that
all
position.
Them Kardashians, all that fake booty, fake lips, fake everything around you. Like, how are you going to be?
But being famous as well is a sentence, because once you become famous, especially on that level, there's no switching it off. You can't just say, oh, you know what? I'm going to go and do an apprenticeship in plumbing. And I want to be a plumber, which is a wonderful choice to make as well. Kind of thing. That is you for life. Like, you got to ride that train until the wheels fall off. And that's a difficult position to be in. I got to send a shout out to my sister, who made me so proud as well when there was a billboard at the end of her road for the new Kardashians series. And they were like, who are the Kardashians? I never heard of them. Like, why are they on this post? I was like, I love you.
Look, this is in from our reporter, Absi. Look, Kim is just crazy. This week, she supported a new startup who created hunger-suppressing lollipops.
That was appalling. She's a role model
to small girls. So hunger-suppressing lollipops, what the fuck does that mean? So you suck on this lollipop, you don't want to eat.
Yeah.
Well, how about you just have a fast? How about you just don't eat? Why do you...
And that's why people were saying it was just so harmful in many ways. And again, it's just the ignorance, like what you're rolling if they're writing the check.
So to me, I feel like, like you're saying, he's going crazy. There's this whole thing about him being on meds and all that. And he was saying he's meant to take 3 a day, but he only took 1 a week. And then on top of that, like going into this crazy shit about liposuction. You know, I was gonna, or he had liposuction, or he's gonna have liposuction,
and because he became addicted.
Because
after.
You guys, because I was worried about you guys. You're gonna say that I'm fat. That's you lot's genius. That's a genius. He's like, oh, let me go and have the same kind of operation or surgery that my mum passed away with, from. Sorry. Like, that's you lot's genius. I feel like he's going crazy. There's something wrong with him.
Of course he is, because that's such a high-pressure position that he's in, kind of thing. So I just don't think it's about, like...
I think he's made it that way. I think it's just like there's so many famous people that just make music and done, but he wants to be...
Yeah.
It's like no one man could have all this power. Why is everything all of a sudden about power and being a god and, you know, my mind is... It's like, nah.
But that's also what I mean about being famous. It's such an isolated existence because you're not free to just like, oh damn, we ran out of milk, let me just run around the shop. Like, you can't go anywhere without security. You can't just like, you're not free to do what the thing, you know, the things that you and I enjoy. You don't know if people really like you as a person, or they're just hanging around with you because of what doors it might open for them, you know. So I just think it's a messy place to be in. If you caught that kind of attention, yeah, it might come back and
bite
you.
But luckily we have, for every Kanye there's a Childish Gambino. You know what I mean? He'll come out and actually just do it. Not try and sound all blah, blah, blah and, you know, mad woke, quote, unquote, woke. Just come out and do it. This guy, I don't know if you've watched Atlanta. Yeah, you don't watch TV.
No.
But it's online. Yeah, Atlanta. It's a wicked show. It's in, it's in the second, I think the second season's ended actually already. But they've started showing it in UK as well. But it's a really good show that he exec produces with another guy. And then also he's, you know, a comedian, a comedic actor, but also a musician. And to be fair, when I first heard the song was when I saw the video. So it was pretty, you know, it was like everything was there in one. I think if I heard the song by its own, I might have been like, what is this? I don't get it or whatnot. But then when you watch the video, it's like, oh.
And that's also what I thought was interesting, because it shows so much about how we've progressed in terms of the music industry. Like, it, that is an integral part of having an impactful release, is having a visual to go along with it. Like, I think those days of releasing something without a visual, you're dead. You're going to be on a back foot compared to the competition. Like, that was a massive part of why everyone's talking about him this week, is pure, you know, the quality of the visual that went along with that too, kind of thing. So I thought it was interesting. And another interesting dude that we're going to be speaking to right after this, who I think is making really interesting music that's making you ask questions about the world which we live in, is Awate. He's going to be joining us very soon. Shouts out to Turkish, locked into the show. All
Turkish killing it with them beats, boy.
All City Steve, Michael ST, Howard Gill, what's up? Agent Abstract says, I'm locked in and listening to the hip hop show. Now I've discovered the show. I actually look forward to Mondays.
Ah,
wicked. All that promoting positivity you and Mice do really does work on me. Ah!
I'm not crying right now.
It's
a little feather just fly by. You know when that happens? Go to a tune quickly.
So we'll be back. But here, check out some brand new Lewis Parker.
Check it out now. Shit is all the way live, baby. Yo, I flip the joint as a crown and achievement while I'm on the low working new agreement. Word, I've been on that fly shit of recent. Overseas rocking shows, getting paid decent. Makes me always dream of a good life. Living right with a fly chick you should wife. It's not about getting caught up in hood trife. I gotta make them power moves and step it up to them new heights. Word, feeling like I'm getting swallowed in time. Reality can shock the mind. Snake people spread lies and always try to stop your shine. It's all live, baby. I'm on the DL chilling, playing the background with the SP bumping out the fat sound. You fake rappers need to back down with your clown ass house nigga routines. You niggas sold out super fast for the cream. Brother scheme and hustle, planning to escape the jungle, get away from these streets where these young fucks trying to rush you. I think about the future and all the days to come, and how I gotta flip the script for my baby son. I rock the crazy drums with the funky bass. When I flip breaks, I don't let ill parts go to waste. Out for the papes and of course the longevity. Rock style steadily till no man can better me. Hold your head, son, it's time to excel.
Hold your head, there's still time to excel. Hold your head, there's still time to excel. Make the right moves to get paid and live well.
Check it out.
Hold your head, yo, it's time to excel. Hold your head, son, it's time to excel. Hold your head, there's still time to excel. Make the right moves with the music and rock well.
Gotta move quick, cause time is slipping. But can't rush the musical precision. That's why I stay in the cut and keep the beats hitting. Laying low in Essex, thinking back to days in Queens. Yeah, the last couple of years have me going through extremes. Becoming a father's brought me joy, but a lot of drama. Cause now I've got them regular headaches with my baby's mama. It's a juggle to balance all the elements you need to represent. Leave alone them petty arguments when more pressing issues are prevalent. I flip breaks excellent, break it down with the SP-1200. Got the heads going wild for the ill joints are haunted. Seen cats who run it, turn around and catch the papers. Niggas be wanting heat, but they ain't coming with the right papers. My feet are dangerous, I stay incognito in the lab. Rockin' super funk, flying comfort high, watch the ride with the Buddha mama. Hold your head, son, it's time to excel. Hold your head, there's still time to excel. Hold your head, there's still time to excel. Make the right moves to get paid and live well. Check it out.
Hold your head, yo, it's time to excel.
Come on.
Hold your head, son, it's time to excel. Hold your head, there's still time to excel. Make the right moves with the music and rock well.
The loops and drums as the earth circles the sun, in tune with the rhythm of life and how things naturally should be done. Dealing with the super funk heavyweight, the Buddha monk make it elevate. Brothers don't handle the problem, then it escalate. Jealous cats hate on the low, spreading rumors and gossip. Spinning wild tales, trying to make a hot topic. I ain't got time to watch it, I keep building and expand that margin of profit. Never make that pop shit, only rep the authentic sound. Dynamic and airbound, within true creativity, freedom is found. I hold it down to the utmost, don't let these snake cats get up close. Niggas is cutthroat and two-faced. I flip the ill beat with two bass. Undercover like Shaq with a new case. Dealing with the drama, don't rather be on some chill shit. SB your name with the flame, ready to kill shit. Hold your head, son, it's time to excel. Hold your head, there's still time to excel. Hold your head, there's still time to excel. Make the right moves to get paid and live well. Hold your head, yo, it's time to excel. Hold your head, son, it's time to excel. Hold your head, there's still time to excel. Make the right moves with the music and rock well.
You know what it is. Let's get it done. Shit is panorama drama. You know what I mean? As we expand.
Golden sounds of the man with 7,032 SP-12s. That cut is called Time to Excel. It's the remix. Lewis Parker. That's from his new When It Rains, It Pours EP, which is dropping 25th of May, available on limited coloured vinyl as well. And there's a T-shirt special bundle pack thing. Check out King Underground Records. They got all that good stuff right there. It's good to hear Lewis back. And I'm going to be giving you info on the launch party for the release as well later. But right now, it's all about our first guest on the show. Welcome, Awate.
What's going on, bruv?
Lovely to have you here.
How are you, man?
Good to be here. Thank you very much. Happy Monday. Happy Monday to everyone listening.
That's it. That's what we do here at the Hip Hop Show, man. We give you like a happy Monday.
Just before you walked in the green room, Awate was telling me that he was crying at the weekend.
Crying? What, at the royal wedding?
Oh, yeah.
That dress,
I'm
innit?
I'm a famed royalist. Oh, yeah, you know.
And I feel that's really reflected in this new album of yours, too.
You know, all it is just like this ode to the Queen and to what this country's imperial legacy has done to our country. Actually,
amazing.
It is. It kind of is a tribute to Wagwan, isn't it? Like, I'm black, I'm in London, why?
Yeah.
Let's start there. Why are all my brethren's here? Why all of, you know what I mean? Why are my teachers from the countries they're from?
Yeah.
It kind of is.
It's a weird one, isn't it? It's what you really think about it. It's like, yo, what is going on here?
But that's also what I think is sad about, like, that's why Britain is great, is because Britain, and that's the good thing about Harry and Meghan, is I think they are reflecting the reality of Britain, which is we are a diverse, mixed up place. And that's why we're so dope. That's why all the illest culture that has come out of the UK is a result of this melting pot. because of the colonial history that Britain has. But what is your background? Where are you from? Your heritage? What's your heritage?
So I'm from Eritrea, but I was born in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia. I was born there on the 29th of May 1991. I'll say this really quickly, which is the same day that my country, Eritrea, was liberated after a 30-year war. And in 1961, that war started. It was founded by someone called Hamid Idris Awate, who I was named after. And also the word Awate in the language of Tigray, which is one of 9 languages we have, means victory. So that's a little bit of history before I was born. But then, yeah, when I was 2, we went from Saudi Arabia to Camden, to a council estate.
Wow.
In Camden, just literally 5 minute walk away from here. So
it's secret location, so yeah.
Oh, so that's cool, because then your launch party was like local to your ends.
In the Roundhouse, yeah, where I was a resident artist. And yeah, I mean, I like doing things that's like filmic, do you know what I mean? Cinematic, making choices that are just like, I don't know, a lot of people say that they thought the rollout for this was like a major label rollout, let alone like an indie, let alone it was just me. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So like, a lot of the stuff that I did from the listening party and having like the decor that we had there and like the little things that were given out to people, and just having it unique to me was stuff that I saw people do when I was a kid during their album rollouts. And I was like, I want to do that when I have my debut album. So I just waited until I could have done that because of the support of my mates, my friends, my partner, Becca, Turkish, my producer and DJ, and just dedicated people around me because I help them out and they know I'm there for them. So that's how we work in this country when we don't have money and the arts aren't encouraged. Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, like, sorry. Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking because I go to France a lot, and one thing that I've really noticed is that here compared to like there, the government look after the arts. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a painter, you know, rapper, singer.
There's funding.
Film producer, yeah, there's funding left, right and centre. Mm-hmm. Radio, anything to do with the
arts. And there are quotas on the radio as well. Hmm? There are quotas on the radio.
Yeah, that's a massive, and I think that's a massive part of why it works over there so well. So you can, I think it has to be at minimum 60 or 70% French music on the radio.
Yeah.
We don't have that. You know what I mean? So already it's going to make it a mission. You know, you got to work so hard just to try and get on the air anyway.
But
it's not just the case of making quality music and people hearing it and that's it.
Because I think that's important. I was thinking about that this weekend too, because I see a lot of artists online where they want to say, if you're a DJ and you ain't paying UK stuff, you can just F off kind of thing. And
that'll get spins, isn't it? That'll work.
No, but then I'm thinking,
it's like sound engineers, isn't it? Shout at the sound engineer, tell everyone to boo the sound engineer. Boo the sound man, everyone. What about you? Watch, turn my mic up, bro.
I always say that's like messing with your barber. Fuck around barber, with your barber, you're going to walk out with a dick on the back of your chef. Exactly.
What are you doing?
Like, yeah, ain't gonna work. Yeah. What was you saying, Sarah?
No, but I think I personally think it's just as harmful to play something just because it's British as it is to not play something because it's British. So we're not doing anyone a favour by playing something just because it's UK, just because it's female, just because it's whatever. No, I'm playing something because I think this is fresh. And that's, you know, because I think if we just play stuff just because it's the UK. But now what is so nice, I think there's so much quality music that comes out of the UK, even just within the hip hop forum. And then, you know, go beyond that as well. There's so many other movements happening. Because I think you're kind of holding down a certain sort of sound and corner musically.
No, I don't think so at all. I would say
what makes you say that?
I've come out of a scene that I had to come out of the UK hip hop scene, which excluded a lot of my friends and my mentor. Styler, for me, was the greatest rapper in this country's history until I came about, and he was part of the Poisonous Poets, who were the greatest spitters. He was too street, he was too black, he was too whatever for UK hip hop, and a lot of the fans who were closed minded going, no, we want you to just rap about do you know what I mean, weed and going to the post office and your life, and do you know, like, but your life, our life, basically. We want you to talk about Carhartt and the things that, do you know what I mean? Like, anyone mixing into grime.
I've never heard that in hip-hop out here, but yeah.
For me, that was something that I saw when I was like 15 coming into it, and I was like, well, it's really restrictive. And I wanted to, I'm into 50 Cent. I felt ashamed for 10 years to tell anyone that in the UK hip hop scene. Yeah, bro, because whenever I would, I tried putting people onto Lil Wayne when I was like 17 when Carter 2 came out. And everyone was like, what's this you talking about, bruv? We're in Deal Real or we're at Brixton Jam. Like, stop it. So I wanted to come through and do jazz. I want to do Michael Jackson. I want to make Off the Wall. Like, and I think there's jazz scenes that we can collaborate with. And the thing, one of the things that's made everyone do so well in the UK right now is the mixing of the different black cultures that we've created in, do you know what I mean, in America, in Britain, in the Caribbean, in Africa, and in the UK, and the different genres that we've created individually. Like, you can't tell the difference. Like, someone will have like a jungle break, like middle eight, in the middle of like an Afro trap song. Do you know what I mean? Or the song will have the vibes of both, or it will have like jazz and hip hop, but it will have like a drill elements. Like, and the comedy has that, and the films have that. Like Black Panther. Like, I think I'm trying to do that rather than, because I've come through UK hip hop, I've had to say hello to everyone and be like, I've come through this. Can you please back me up and co-sign me? Because I've been there from a ute. I was carrying crates of snips. I was doing this when I was a ute. So
I didn't want you to misunderstand what I was saying, because I think you did misunderstand what I was saying. But the point I was trying to make was that I think you are holding down something within the context of putting out a hip hop release, which is it's a woke, which I don't even like using that phrase, but musically and creatively, the sound that you're doing, I think you've got that, you know, you've got a good strong hold in that kind of corner. I'm not saying that you are exclusively anything. That's not for me to determine what type of artist you are.
Yeah,
I'm saying from this EP that we've been supporting on the show, I feel like, you know, you're raising issues that need to be discussed. You have a particular sound, which to me is quite a acoustic sort of sound. You know, I'm not saying that you are someone who doesn't like trap.
Yeah. I don't write trap that
much. Okay, well, you're someone who doesn't like drill.
I think you swept enough of it under the rug.
No, because you were saying, like, you were talking there about drill, Lil Wayne, 50 Cent, so that's why I mentioned
So in terms of, like, because we used to hear that a lot, like, it's funny, I feel like I even mentioned this last week on the show, but so we used to do that night Kung Fu, I'm sure you knew about, a long time ago. And it was funny because I'd have people, like, my black friends that are, like, hip-hop heads, and they were more like, say, South London or some from West or whatever, but they'd be like, yeah, Kung Fu, that thing you do, but it's all white people there, innit? That's like the white hip-hop crowd. I'm like, do I look white? Like, what? And does Sarah look white? Even? You know, for Sapu? But then they come.
Does Shorty look white? Or
yeah, but then they, Shorty Blitz, yeah. And then they come and then they see it and they're like, oh, right, we're playing Bashment in there. You know, like, not like as whitewashed as people think it was. But I think, like, now, people feel a lot more like that as well because of the high focus, them blowing up, and majority of them are white. But there's even people of colour on that label as well. So sometimes I feel like we might be throwing it out there too much to seem like what we think it is as opposed to what it really is. I feel like, black people here are more into, like, street, like you were saying. You know, it's not backpacky enough or not... you know, quote, intelligent enough or
it's
whatever.
It's their version of blackness that they want, I think. And for me, I was logging in and going, okay, I'm logging on UK hip hop, UKHH.com, and I'm seeing these people who are not from London, who aren't really around that many black people, put what they want black people to be onto us. And that was really weird.
Wow.
And then for me, that was like what separated it and meant that UK rap came as a completely separate genre with like the... who's it like Joe Black, and you had Giggs and Mike GLC and people like that. But like Styler was right next to Mike GLC and probably just right next to UK hip hop, and Sway was right in between grime and UK hip hop possibly. And I don't know, I feel like back then, like the limitations of the genres meant that it was quite, I don't know, no one knew who to support.
Yeah,
well, I think that you raised something interesting, because I've never hung out on a hip-hop forum or a blog.
So my ideas
of a genre or what is good in music, what's going to fit into my set on the radio or in rocking a club, is nothing to do with someone's opinion on a blog. So maybe this is the difference why I haven't heard this thing of like, oh, this is what UK hip-hop is. Oh, UK hip-hop is all white people. No, because I just have, the way I experience hip-hop is a first-hand thing, whether that's people in the record shop, people in the club, on the dance floor, or artists like yourself coming through to the radio.
I guess that's the difference, because for me it's like talking to people, and then I was noticing, like, right, there's a few people who talk like this. You know, I remember Sterling Collective, they came down and they're like, bruh, I didn't realise it was like this. I thought it was all a proper whitewash thing, and then they're like, oh, okay, I get it now. But I think that's the hard part, is bringing that togetherness for people to understand. I think we're doing it a bit now online with what's, you know, with Facebook and whatnot, with WhatsApp groups and all that. But I still think there's a big difference compared to when people were congregating at one place. Do you know what I mean? And then sharing ideas. And it's not as much as that happening now, whether it be people can't be bothered to go out, or
I don't care what color someone is, who's making music.
Everyone's different though, isn't it? Everyone's,
I know,
different.
But all I care is your shit popping. I don't care if you have one left foot, if you're like you're black, you're brown, you're anything, you're green. I don't care. You know, and I don't think that impacts the quality of your music either. But I do remember upsetting quite a few people when I asked online if do they think Run the Jewels would have been as successful if it was two black dudes.
That's a good question, though.
And also I said, do you think those albums would have been Guinness Book of World Record breaking albums that Adele put out if it was Jill Scott put out that exact same music?
Of course not. But I think in this
country, people tell me, no, you're wrong to say that. That's out of order.
I think in this country, if you get a white person to do a big band album, it becomes the album of the year and wins every Brit and every Mercury. I think we know that, from Amy Winehouse to big up Plan B, big up Amy Winehouse, big up Adele, big up their struggles and where they've come from. But we just know that will happen. Yeah. If you've got someone who is making black music and who's white, and they put out a big band album, and it's probably produced by like Fraser T. Smith or something, it's going to be the most successful album in the world. Like Sam Smith, in the world, that everyone knows who he is, in the world. Like in Malaysia, people know who that is because of the support this country gives to white artists who make black music, like the Beatles or like Rolling Stones. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's the industry that's corporate
because it's easier. It's just a little bit easier.
But I remember when we got to about 2003-4ish, and then the whole thing, it became like, wow, he or she doesn't look like she's meant to be able to do that or make that music. Oh, that's amazing.
That's the whole thing.
That's what it turned into. It's just like, whoa, the whoa factor, as opposed to like, yeah, but is this really good?
Or is it just white mediocrity, which is a thing that exists most of the time?
What's that? So say that again.
White mediocrity. It's just like just about doing something and it's being talked about and applauded extremely, whereas like if a black woman were to do it, or if someone of another type, or if someone who came from that practice, like if a Japanese person was doing like a sick karate kata, and then if you saw like a white person do it, you'd be like, oh,
right, that white guy can do
it. You did something that
we
didn't think you could do.
I don't know if we can say that as a blanket rule that happens, but definitely within the industry, there's plenty of examples that it's easier. It's considered easier to promote a more Europeanized image of,
in a country with more European people,
than it is to promote a. This has been the idea anyway. But you mentioned black music. Is it still reasonable to call it black music? Because you see how in recent years that's been a phrase where it's almost like, okay, stop talking about that. Stop mentioning that, people.
Yeah, but that's only in front of people who are uncomfortable with it.
No, but I'm wondering, like, putting it out there, because that's I don't often hear people talk about air quote black music. It's urban music.
Yeah, no, I hate that.
It's rebranded.
You've got to be around more black people, Sarah.
But people always try it.
They say urban to take the piss, like urban. Yeah, you know, no one don't really.
No,
the only
but
people
I mean, say who's
urban,
that's whitewashing. Yeah, that's like Columbusing.
Who's number one in the black music charts right now?
Is it Drake or is it Kendrick?
No, but is there something called the black music chart?
I don't know.
Exactly, but there's urban music chart, isn't
there? Yeah, I know, but who makes the chart?
Who do you think makes that chart?
People don't like talking about race, that's why. Like, people get mad uncomfortable. It's fine, we can still be friends afterwards. Even if me and my brethren have like a super heavy argument about something, if someone like, I might not be as woke as them on something, they might not be as woke as me on something. If I check someone on homophobia, or they might check me on transgender issues, we might get heated just because the understanding isn't there, but afterwards we can still be blessed.
Yeah.
It's okay to call it black music. Do you know why? Because it's black music. The blues scale is black. The blues scale was brought over due to the suffering of black people who were using it as a form of communication during slave times and during the colonial times, when they couldn't use language, when it was illegal, not that it was a law, but like we would get killed. You or top off your foot if you talk. If you could read or write, if you are literate, we will kill you. So black and if you try using any of these any of these objects around you as percussion, because we know that you back in Africa you were using that as a communication, we will kill you. So you know what we're doing? Blue scale. And that came from West Africa, and it came from East Africa, and it came from, and that pentatonic scale exists all over the world. But when you talk about black music, it's because of the influence that the blues scale had on jazz, had on blues, had on gospel, R&B, had on pop, so yes. had on rock.
So then, I mean, fast forward to, like, playing devil's advocate, yeah. fast forward to other black genres. So if you want to look at, like, drum and bass, let's say, or UKG or something. A lot of the people who have been the backbone of the formative, you know, forming these genres, these are people from completely mixed backgrounds. Mm. You know, they
like
were
white
kids
sound
like
engineers
me,
where,
who are half white, and you know, someone other friend of mine who is Punjabi, white dude. You know, all kinds of people, and this is the community that has made it. So, I mean, is there any less credit that is due to someone, a white person, who engaged in like the creation of something like drum and bass or garage or something
not,
like this?
Not at all.
But I'm just saying, for some people, that you know, they might say, yeah, we want to call these things black music, but then if you want to look at certain genres, you know, in deeply, you could see there's actually a mix. You have something like jungle. As a result of the mixture of people who were in Britain, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
To be
and
fair,
the unique circumstance in Britain.
I'd say like something like jungle, house and garage. I think it's like dominant in, you know, in the black communities, but I wouldn't say like that's black music. I think there's definitely influences from black music. Jungle, when it first started, they were sampling ragga, soul, rare groove. So all these things were what people were already in tune with, and a lot of the producers for jungle, you know, like when it started, they were hip-hop producers before, hip-hop DJs before, so it's a similar, you know, it's kind of like
and hip-hop using samples
yeah.
because they cut the arts funding in New York so that you wouldn't have a next incredible saxophonist or incredible jazz players, meant that they had to sample other people's music. Because in New York, they cancelled the public arts program in public schools, right? So that meant that they weren't doing no music lessons. So you couldn't become a next Miles Davis. You couldn't become a next Billie Holiday, right?
Was that only in New York?
And most of America. When Reagan came in as well, especially, like that kind of thing, like, ooh, you know, public funding goes. But in New York, especially when it was broke, when the city was like bankrupt, they stopped all public funding. That led to, if they got no time and they can't learn instruments, what are they going to do? We'll take other people who have played instruments and learnt their instruments, and we'll take this band and chop it up. And that itself is political, and it's a black thing to do, or it's a thing to do in poverty. And in America specifically, that kind of poverty is urban poverty, is black poverty.
Making something,
which made it a black art form. Toni Morrison says that a black art has the ability to use found objects and to do it effortlessly and to make it look cool. So those are things that I would say maybe jungle and drum and bass do come up, because it's all breakbeats, and those breakbeats are using funk, and funk was when James Brown took soul and made it even more African after they killed Malcolm X and Martin Luther King and Sam Cooke, and he took soul and made
it
more
example,
syncopated with the drums.
And I think our sound of popular music today, and when I speak about popular music, I'm talking about underground music, I'm talking about something like jungle, I'm talking about jazz, funk, you know, all kinds of genres. We ultimately, the sound is a result of a few hundred years of history of us mixing on a global level. So we can never underplay like the influence, say, for example, Western classical music has had on popular music, because a lot of our scales that we hear in pop music today have originated through the Western classical experience. And then when that has met with other sounds from the world, this is when we've come out with fascinating things like the blues and stuff as well. So I think it's always important to make sure that we represent the truth of our you know, sounds, which doesn't, I don't think that takes away from giving the correct credit to people at all, because you know, that's a wonderful thing. There's parts in the world where, you know, they don't have this mixture of black people meeting Western Europeans kind of thing. There's a reason why we have 4/4 time so common in UK music. There's a reason why in Outer Mongolia the music sounds like that and it doesn't sound like Western classical music. So even when we want to talk about blues and jazz and drum and bass, these things are influenced by pure white culture before, you know, that even predates a lot of like our colonial history too. But I think a lot of the most interesting stuff has happened ultimately once we have all amalgamated, I think, as well, you know, because I think otherwise we get into a position where we sound like we just want to hate on everything, and also that maybe we think that there's
do I sound like that,
less...
by the way?
No,
what because I'm not, because I'm just
now you
were
the one.
We all need to be aware of this, because it's important that we highlight this truth, and we are given our credit where it's due, and we're not afraid to say things like black music, and the rules of the game isn't ruled by the industry, it's ruled by us who are creating the culture. And so I think at the same time I'm proud to be British, because we are this mixture of all these different elements that have uniquely come together in a city like London, you know, to create something like punk. Like, is punk black music?
Yeah okay. Because it's
you know,
it's
what
black people, okay, the Moors invented the guitar.
Yeah.
It was done. It was done by white people who were imitating black artists. It was made in Camden, which was full of a lot of Caribbean people. It was done in a place called Rehearsals, which is now Proud Gallery. If you look at the environment they were coming from, it's black music. It's white people making black music still. It's okay. It's okay. I do white things. I listen to things that are white. But it's okay to say that. It's just that when you walk into a Wing Chun's place, you have to respect the fact that it is Chinese.
Totally. I just think it's not okay to assume something is less quality if it's made by a white artist, because there's lots of white artists
I'm saying, but the level of which white mediocrity is a thing that exists, Google it. It's a thing that people have written books about, and it's something that I'm not cool with. So I think whoever you are, you need to be making phenomenal music. I think I make phenomenal music because I've been trying to since I was a kid, and I've always been trying to perfect my craft. And there are white artists I know who are incredible and the most incredible instrumentalists or lyricists. But I'm just saying that hip-hop is black music.
And there's some black artists making really middle-of-the-road mediocre music.
Yeah, most people make white stuff. None of these things are exclusive to a race.
I didn't say
the quality is dependent on
that. Okay, no, it's because earlier you got
no, no, no. I didn't say, no, no. I just said that white mediocrity is a thing and it exists. And it is something, in this country especially, in this industry, in this country, it is a lot harder when you're a black artist making up music that's from your own heritage. Whereas if you're a white artist, look at the history of the Beatles, look at the history of anyone, Sam Smith, putting out any albums, they get supported completely. That's a fact. That's all I was saying.
I think mediocrity is not exclusive to any race.
I think it's because that phrase right now is being given to you for the first time, but it's a thing. It's black mediocrity isn't a phrase. White mediocrity is, because of how big of a thing that it has become. But again, within the cultivation of these subcultures, there have been white sound engineers, white instrumentalists, white DJs, white people helping the entire time. And not just that, but in creating hip hop in America, it was a lot of Latino people who were like a third or a half of the culture because of the Bronx and where it was. And in this country, we had a lot of people coming from South Asia, from India, from Bangladesh, from Pakistan, that helped create the subgenres that that started only here, like jungle and drum and bass. And the mix of that with the white indigenous population that exists here. But it was still them using black music and techniques pioneered by people who had nothing because of their race and because of their class as well. And the class is a thing that linked all of the working class people who made those musics from around the world.
So basically, you're saying this white mediocrity thing, this is a phrase that a journalist has started, and it basically means people who are mediocre, but they get away with it because they're white.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's okay.
I think there's loads of like mediocre black rappers out there who are getting way more promotion than people who are really killing it.
Of course,
there's way more.
I don't know why you even saying it. Like, we haven't heard of Little Yachty, Little This, Little That, Little That.
Because I don't think highlighting like differences on simplistic lines like race, like that's fine. Far too simple, you know. Like, there's people that you can't simplify. An experience of being black in America is completely different to an experience of being black in the UK.
So going back to the urban word, then. So how do you feel about it now? Because before it sounded like you were like, you know, it should be called black music. Why is everyone calling it urban?
No, but now it sounds like you're saying perspective kind of thing. Because I just noticed there was a time when it was a very cool thing to promote this black music, the home of black music on certain BBC stations and things like that. That was a tool to promote what they were doing. And then suddenly it shifted to, oh no, we need to broaden this and make it more inclusive. So we're going to go with this term urban. And that wasn't a term that came from the people who created the culture. That was a term that came from the industry. People sat in offices making decisions on our culture.
These white people, they don't want to call it black music, so they call it white. Anyway,
you're
here about the album, bruv. Let's speak quickly about the album, because we're going to play one of your tunes before we get... We've got another guest.
I'm here also about the tour starting on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be at the Exchange in Bristol on Wednesday. I'm going to be in Manchester. I forgot the name of the venue right about now. I'm going to be at the Hyde Park Book Club in Leeds on Friday. I'm going to be at Glasgow Hug and Pint on Saturday. Tickets are available right now. I'm going to be on tour with Turkish. Kingpin is going to be coming on with me for the first two dates. Lentz is going to be there in Leeds on Friday. I just played Barcelona 2 weeks ago. I had my first headline show there. I just played The Great Escape Friday. It's been fantastic. It's been incredible. People have been coming. I've been really enjoying it. Based on this conversation, just know that I am, I've done stand-up comedy for a few years. When you come to my shows, there's mad jokes as well. Mm-hmm. There is this level of, there's depth as well, but that mainly is in the lyrics most of the time. So calm down, you're going to have a good time. Tickets, I'm pretty sure the
maximum. How do you find the comedy thing,
man? £10. What do you mean?
How did you, like, did you just start it? Like, were you like, I just want to start doing it? Or, because I remember speaking with Reveal, and we used to talk about years ago how they're very similar, like, performing, rapping in front of a crowd and doing comedy is very similar. So that's why I was asking, how do you find it? Is it easy?
Comedy's harder as performing. Comedy's harder performing because there's no beat. If you've done spoken word, if you've done a rap, if you've done your raps as a spoken word set before, bare times, right?
Yeah.
It's the transition from going into from talking to the pieces. So...
What, that's where you use the comedy?
That's where I use it in my set as a rapper when I'm doing shows. And
yeah,
I just had,
yeah. Well,
do you know
what I mean?
I did it for a while, but and basically the police cases that I had, which were not the inspiration for this, for my debut album, Happiness, which is out now, produced by Turkish. You can get it on vinyl. It's on Spotify, it's on iTunes. But the police cases, I had four of them. Each one of them took away something that I was doing with my life. Like, I was working for The Guardian. Yeah, I was working for Channel 4 News. I was doing stand-up. I was doing youth work. I was doing all of these different things. I was making rap music, and that's the only thing that I kept when the fourth case hit me and I was on bail for 2 years and I had to make this album. So, and then I decided, boom, I'll just do the stand-up inside the set in between the songs. And people seem to like it. And I've got an energetic stage performance. You know what I mean? People like it. Come down. I'm going to be coming to a town near you if you are in one of them four towns.
Wicked, man.
We'll be sharing the links. And I hit you up a little while ago online because I was apologising to you at the horrible torrent of abuse you seemed to get, like, after you appeared on Channel 4.
Yeah. No, I appeared on Channel 4, I think it was 2013 or 14, and... Seriously, I think like three or four times a week I'll get a comment or a direct message or something on one of my videos or something, either a threat or something from one of these like fascists, because I don't know, because I'm a black person in this country and I'm intelligent,
I speak my mind
and I can back it up. Do you know what I mean? Akala gets a lot, Loki gets a lot, Miss Dynamite, she got the most abuse for speaking her mind in this country, so you know, it's not that bad.
Well, we appreciate you and we're digging the album. It sounds so fly. And I know that word is spreading around about Owate even more. So we're going to keep on supporting. Thank you for coming through and chilling with us today.
We're going to play one of his tunes. Which tune are we playing?
We're going to play this track of yours called Incantation.
Yeah,
let's do it. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you very much.
We got Turkey.
Since you stop thinking about it. Now, what kind of man is that? Leave his own flesh and bones alone in an abandoned flat. Morning means breakfast and nappies to change. Drop a kid off early cause she's going back for her grades. Used to have dreams of acting on stage, but now she just chills and lets the lavender blaze. We had a manuscript change, such a short space of time. Last time she saw a pa was in the court facing nine. gets me thinking. Without a shilling, we're sinking. What is this hell we live in? Last time I saw my pal, he had his elder with him, who said, be thankful of life, we owe a debt to women. Some of my peeps like to sit and learn in lecture buildings. Others are stretched in prison, obsessed with sinning. Trying to live in this savage nation. So I just spit this incantation. What you hear is no fabrication. ELF, yes, this is my incantation.
Fubar Radio presents
Filmish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons.
We are very honoured, privileged to have with us Oscar-winning director of The Artist, Michelle Hazanavicius. This is the section where we ask our guests, if you had to sleep with Ryan Reynolds or Ryan Gosling, which one would it be?
Can I be both?
That's the most French thing that anyone's ever said.
I mean, they're both like,
of course,
handsome.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, let's go with the two of them.
Excellent.
Every Friday,
Filmish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons
from 1 p.m.
Fubar Radio.
And that was a wicked chat with our friend Owate. That definitely wasn't an argument. That's just, you know, you've got to be clear about what you're expressing. That's all. No argument, no bad feelings at all. But if you missed any of that, hit
yeah,
up
you
lot
just rewind and
com.
Listen to the hardcore argument that was going on between two people of color. They wanted to fight. They did not like each other in the name of justice. No, I'm joking. I like it when, you know, it gets heated like that, because I think it's good for people to be able to talk and then go for a bevy after. Which, was that a good segue?
That was, but can I just say that that's not me heated, so you don't want to see me heated. But welcome, guys.
So anyway, I don't know why she had to say that, guys, but let's get into it. Barker, what's going on, bruv?
It's all good, man. I've just...
Friend of the show?
Yeah, cheers for having me back, man.
Welcome.
Just on the 13th of April, my first mixtape came out, Luck and Black Magic, and I just thought I'd see if I could make it back on it and talk about it for a little while. And then also we've been making clothes recently.
Who's
so that
we?
Me and Jack mainly. There's
good
also...
Evening,
what you saying?
How are you? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm the quiet one.
Ah, okay.
I'm behind the scenes.
We're going to make you talk a lot then.
That's fine. I tend to be the loudmouth in everyone's faces. Like, look what we're getting up to. And then Jack's the dude that's actually like making most of it happen.
Yeah.
Like,
Bark will be like, I want this done. And I'll be like, okay, here you go. I've somehow managed to do it.
But then we've also...
So talk about this EP, first of all.
Yeah.
When did that get finished?
Got finished just about 2 weeks or so before it came out, because I had to re-record some of the songs. Yeah, but then most of last year that was getting recorded through different people that I was just sort of starting to meet, because I mean, in the scheme of things, I've really not been doing this too long. Like, I started sort of properly writing and trying to put stuff out like 2016. So then through all of last year was just trying to find people who record me, people who've got beats and all that kind of thing, and then it just all started to fall into place to get a release early this year. And then I found out that there was a Friday the 13th in April, and I just thought it was a bit too perfect to miss, really. So
hold on, so Brain Bucket is...
That's the clothes.
Okay,
stuff.
So what's the name of the EP?
The EP is Luck and Black Magic.
Okay, that's what... Because I thought
that
it was Brain Bucket.
Why did you call it Luck and Black Magic?
To be fair, there's not much of a deep story to it. People... I mean, because I'm from somewhere where not really many people rap and all that kind of thing, if it came up that I made music and they were, oh, okay, show me your stuff. And then you get that, how do you do that question? And I don't know how to answer that.
How do you rap?
Yeah, how do you rap? How do you think of things to talk about? How do you remember what you're going to say and all that kind of thing? And it's like, I don't know, I've just, because I enjoy it, I'm the sort of person where I know I can't just be just a fan of something. Like, I have to get involved and stuff, and then I just get caught up in it. And
that's like football for me. All my friends are into soccer. They're all into football, yeah. I used to be into it when I was younger, but I prefer playing it. Now, yeah. I can't be bothered to watch them. Yeah. It's like a lot of sports, I prefer to play them than watch them. Because, like, man, I could do better than that.
Yeah, man. No, like, yeah, say my whole family's nuts on football. I just never really got it, really. So I just started gravitating towards other bits.
His dad's terrible for it.
Yeah, is honestly. It? Like, you walk in the house, he's a lovely dude, but then it's like, no matter what you're doing, you're having a half an hour chat about the latest match that's happened. And like,
you haven't explained, though. So when you're saying that, so the name of the EP?
Luck and Black Magic.
Yeah, and so when people ask you, you just say to them?
Well, it started just like, it's Luck and Black Magic.
Urban Magic.
Yeah, thank you, please.
Ever so sorry. But yeah, so, yeah, it's just
start Black Magic.
Yeah. But it's just, yeah, how do you do that? And so I don't know, I just enjoy doing it, so started writing, and eventually it started to work, and then I just got lucky, really.
So like, you actually started writing in 2016, or you were when you were like, I'm going to take this seriously?
I'd written like one or two things before, but nothing really seriously.
See, because I knew it. You can hear this guy rap, and you'll be like, this ain't 2 years' work, or 1.5 years' work. This is like, a lot of people, you think, man, I want to try and do that shit. And at that time, you're just mucking around. You're not actually taking it serious. But then there's a point where you're like, okay, bam, I want to start recording tracks and putting out. So 2016 was that point. But when did you get into rap and think, like, yeah, I could do this?
Probably the first point of it was about, like, year 10 of high school. Because through most of my teen years, I was, like, a mad, like, metalhead kid. Like, all the long dyed hair and skinny jeans and all that kind of business. And then
I wore some skinny jeans that you didn't. Yeah. Yeah, I ain't wear them.
But then a mate of ours, Tom, I went to high school with him, so shout out to Tom. He showed me the tune They by Stick of the Dump.
Oh, wow.
And I just thought it was the best shit ever. And
what did you like about it?
Just the proper punch of it, because like, at that point, all I was listening to was metal and like things like that.
Had you ever heard hip-hop like before that?
Not from the UK at all.
Okay.
And then it was just like, dead fish swim with the current, I won't play the... I'm like, fuck, this is some heavy shit. Like, and again...
That's wicked, man.
Yeah, man. And then, like, say there's just not a lot of people around where we're from who make music. So then it's just, I could either try and, you know, wrestle to find all of these people, like someone to do drums and guitars and all this. And it's like, but I found this new thing that's really cool and you can pretty much make whatever you want with it, linking with the people who can do their thing, you know? And it just seemed to work, I guess. I don't know.
Was it, so did you heard Stig and you were like, oh, I can do this as well? Like, hearing it in a UK voice.
Yeah, kind of. That wasn't sort of I can do this as well straight away, but that's when I knew that UK rap was a thing. And then after that, just through looking at other Stig tunes on YouTube, I found like Dr. Syntax and all that kind of thing. And then, of all things, I was at a mate's house watching a YouTube gaming video, and Return of the Twat came on. And like, as Stig's verse started, and I was like, I know that voice anywhere. Found it. Then I found All High Focus, and I was like, right, so there's not just one or two dudes doing this. This is like a whole big thing that's happening.
Wow, so you found the scene. That's crazy, man.
And then managed to, me and Tom somehow... Actually, I don't know if I can say this, I'll get him into trouble, but we were...
You can swear on here.
Huh?
You can swear on here.
No, this is about Boom Bap Festival 2015. Like, we were both 16 and somehow ended getting in still. And just say at that point, the whole scene was quite new to me. And then just to see, like, everyone in this...
On stage.
Yeah, like, just this close-knit thing of just, like, the stage here, and here, and everyone... It's like, or at least for the majority, is all from the UK. It's like, shit, there's actually things happening, and this is something like really cool to get involved with, you know?
Hold on, you were 16 in 2015.
Yeah.
Aww, baby.
That's so cute.
I turned 17, crazy. If that's any help, but.
It's legal. No.
I go, well, I ain't gonna lie, but I probably won't do it soon. It's like, oh, like, should I say it or not? Nah, I ain't doing it. Yeah, that's really interesting, man. I like the story of like the fact that you didn't even know anything about the UK like hip hop scene or UK rap scene, but then it was one tune that popped up, and you're like, "Whoa!" And the fact that you were into something like death metal, is it death metal you said? Or?
All sorts. Papa Roach were like my favorite band since I was
like
9.
I get sore throat when I try to sing along. So you know what I mean? But the fact that you were into all of that sort of music, and then you heard someone like Stig, who is fucking hardcore as well, and you could relate to it, like, yo, you know, it wasn't like, oh, it's too, the words are going too fast or whatever. Like,
no.
You could, That's really amazing, man.
Yeah. But then I feel like there's a lot of overlap with metal and hip hop.
Especially.
And then there's a lot of fans,
recently,
people
yeah.
I know who are fans of hardcore music and they're hip hop heads too.
Yeah. Say, like, I mean, where we're from, again, there's, say, the music scene, it's like there'll be a few bands already formed, but no one actually doing bits who are opening to start things because they're already busy with their other stuff. But there's a lot of metal bands around there, like Decay the Ocean, Homelands, Tyrant. They're all from, like, Lynn and that sort of surrounding area. So they're all on the proper, like, guttural screaming, chunky guitars, heavy business.
What is all that, like, about, though? What? Tell the truth. Why did they scream like that?
It's just... I don't know. I'm probably going to offend loads of people, but it's just, it seems like pointless aggression for the sake of pointless aggression. Like, we could step on a mic and be like, a body MC's on a daily and all this sort of thing. Or they can just be like... And it's just that same aggression for the sake of fun and aggression, I guess.
So like, it's fun. That shit look like it hurts.
It
bro.
Does. They end up with it, but I think for some of them, that is the objective: is to get in the nodules on your vocal cords. That kind of adds to the sound. Of
yeah,
your,
I got nodules.
Your growl.
Like, yeah, yeah. I caught a little. You know, I got gonorrhea. Like, yeah, right. You've been fucking. That's the same thing, right? Yeah, I got these nodules.
Yeah. I didn't know what a nodule was.
Oh, you not heard? Oh, yeah. That's if you have a poor vocal technique. You
oh, okay.
end up damaging your vocal cords and what. And what happens
that.
Is you go, but this can happen for anyone.
Yeah,
even
it's
someone
not that
who,
you know, heavy metal or death metal dudes have got bad vocal ranges or anything like that.
No,
she
it's just from
it like
abusing
that.
Their voice and their vocal cords, and you end up causing permanent damage. The only way it can be.
The rhythms are crazy.
Yeah, man.
Some of the rhythms are like, yo, the drummers.
The drummers are fucking mental.
But the screaming thing, bruv. Like, come on, man, I'm having breakfast. What do you listen to in the morning? If you're a death metal dude, what do you turn on in the morning? Like, yeah. Or you, it's starting to wake you
yeah,
up.
Yeah, smooth jazz.
Is it? Is it?
I don't know.
What did you listen to when you woke up, like,
when
and you were
like,
a death metal dude? Oh, I need some of...
It weren't just that. Like, I also, like, I've always been, like, a big old geek on the blues and stuff as well. So it'd be stuff like that to start and end the day. But then it's like you hit lunchtime and it's like, you know, I've had two lessons. I'm pissed off at everyone and I want to listen to Cannibal Corpse sort of thing. Like,
on the headphones or on the phone just to take the piss out of everyone. Like,
it depends. Depends on what kind of day you're having.
Definitely. In London, man, all the youths, like, when you go on the bus, you go on the top, but, like, they're all playing their tunes off the phone. Imagine they were all into
no,
death
but
metal.
It's, yeah. It's teenagers and the other people doing it are grandmas. Because they haven't
hilarious.
Worked out that they
yeah,
can
yeah.
listen to music that's not on the speaker
phone. Hey, shout out to all the grandmas that know how to use WhatsApp.
I was just about to say they should have never given
Jesus.
Grandmas WhatsApp. Hey. They should have never given these grandmas WhatsApp.
So let's talk about the clothing line then, because this is interesting as well. Is it, there's any death metal feeling to it at all? Or?
From Barker's end, not from mine.
No, we don't approve.
We're the offcuts of like where
we're
from.
We're literally the polar opposite of people, yeah. But that's kind of why it works.
They usually make the best teams, though.
Yeah, everyone people. Who like we roll with is different in their own way. We all come from different backgrounds. We all like different music, and we all have our own thing to put into it. Mm. So, like when I met Barker, I thought he was a complete weirdo. Yeah. He probably thought the same of me. Mm. And then like we just started chilling, sitting about in an
doing
old micro
weird stuff together.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, but, that's not weird. I do that as well.
Playing darts and whatnot, and then like it was just a case of we'd talk about all the things we like and all the things we would want to do, mm. whether that's making music, making clothes, making short films, and mm. just going, you know what, well, what we could do that with our free time,
mm.
and just get on with it.
So how did you meet
through Tom, the guy yeah. who showed me Stig. It was like it was like
Tom is like the Oracle.
He's the
Kevin
man.
Bacon.
He should be a social like event manager. Like
honestly,
he knows
everyone.
Oh, he's the link
he's just
up
one
dude.
Of them
yeah,
dudes.
Yeah, yeah. You want to get the, like man can get a ping. Like okay.
So and, we need to know Tom.
Yeah. Bring Tom next time.
Yeah.
Now,
like. Yeah, definitely.
And then so what, in terms of like the clothing thing, what made you? How did that spark? Like what made you go? Okay, we should do this. Is it because he's already a designer or?
Well,
no, not at all.
Jack was. Oh, sorry, I don't want to speak for
no,
you.
Go on, go on.
Like Jack was always into like this is before I met him, like into the streetwear scene, like your Palace, Supreme, Comme des Garçons, all that kind of thing. I've always been a bit of a scruffy skate rat, so that sort of passed me by. But like, I've always liked sort of the visual things. So like, I don't know how to explain really, but yeah. like, sort of gothy imagery, but kind of hip hop infused, like that sort of rockabilly graffiti.
Millennial,
sort
sounds
of.
Millennial.
Yeah. Well,
don't hit me for calling it. I always feel bad saying that word.
Bagger loves graffiti.
Mm. Like, no good.
He'll do freehand shit, and it's sick. Mm. And then like with me, like it's aesthetically pleasing images and like things like that. I'm very much kind of, if it looks nice, it looks nice, and I am happy with it, whether anyone else likes it or if it's me. We're releasing a range next month, and I said to Barker, if no one likes it, I'm still going to order it for myself, because I've put my passion into it, and I like it, and we both like it. So
awesome. Where can people see some of these designs and all that? What's the website?
At the moment, it's just the Depop store, which is the official Brain Bucket. But then by the start of July, the big cartel will be all up and running and all that kind of thing. So for the moment, we've just been doing what we can when we can. So like these T-shirts, we did like a run of 10 and they all sold out, which is like really cool. Mm. And then we've got these hoodies as well, which still got like 4 left of or something like that.
So where's ours? I'm just
in my bag.
He's got yours in my bag.
I actually bought you guys both a hoodie.
No, we wear whatever people do to make sure people know about it as well. So mine's large though. Yeah, I got a little ballerina figure. Now.
I only had XL or 2XL left, so I didn't want you guys to feel insulted. But that's literally all I had.
I'll turn mine into a dress.
Same here. Turn mine into a dress too, girl.
But you're gonna be hanging around for the open mic, right?
If you have me, that'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah, we'd love to have you. And yeah, so remember the label is called Brain Bucket.
Yes.
Yeah, so you need to check out for Brain Bucket Clothing.
That's the clothing side of it. Plead the Fifth is the main thing. We just do whatever we want. That's okay. Plead the Fifth. Brain Bucket is clothes. So.
Okay, wunderbar. And then this track that we're going to play from you, Barker, is this from Luck and Black Magic? It's called How Many Fives?
Yeah, this song, actually, I used to do a series called Written Wednesdays, which is sort of how I met most of the people I started recording with. And the first verse to this was just one of those Written Wednesdays episodes. I was like, I like the beat too much and I like where this is going, so I'm just going to make a whole song of it. And I can confidently say, for anyone who cares, the entirety of this song was written while I was sat on a toilet.
Thanks, bro. Can I put that in my mental
diary?
I couldn't not say it. Black magic.
Open mic coming up next.
How many fives do I stitch on a daily? Many, many. Say me, say many, many. How many fives do I stitch on a daily? Many, many. Say me, say many, many. It's your friendly neighborhood skate rat. Penny boarding thrash, your hoodie pussies get a bitch slap. So you're a side and I'm a Big Mac. Catch me dripping vomit, making moves on a punk lass. So this is keyhole surgery. Man, I never spit a bar, I straight up purge a beat. Alleyway GP, he wafts off uncertainty. Kill five guys with 5 pints of urgency. What's new? You know I got the face for radio. Got a series where I kill it weekly on the video. Dudes in your crew think that you can try and test me, bro. I boot you out your skinny jeans, complete the fifth, will run the show. It's baggy camos, hoodie up with the flashy watch. Man, I'm a zombie in the game, call me Nick Frost. Well, everything I drop is fat, mate, I'm Rick Ross. So I school you from the cypher to the chip shop. Good God, man, I'm gassed like I'm Anne Frank. I play it cool, but you're a rookie getting outranked. A cup of rosy with a slag and some rad dank. I got a picture of your sister in my wank bank. That's rank, so call the angels, Gabriel or Lucifer. That's my fucking family. You're part of the seas, I'm moving you. Living in a fantasy, never getting through to you. Child of the flower bed, I slayed the mic and blooming up. How many fives do I stitch on a daily? Many, many. Say me, say many, many. How many fives do I stitch on a daily? Many, many. Say me, say many, many. I bring the flows in my Blue Castle cargoes. It's 98 lace, fresh ink and blunt smoke. Yeah, you're done, no. By night my eyes glow. Man, I'm so odd, I lost my job at the freak show. I'm Lex Luthor when I hold the mic. I play it cool, but Jack the Ripper's what I'm spitting like. This ain't the devil's verse, this is how I write. So you can catch me in the sky on All Hallows Night. You're in the presence of God, you're chatting with a scumbag. You can read my verses while I'm picking up a 10 bag. Catch my last supper, it's full of rappers in glad rags. Put me on a cross of skateboards and thumbtacks. I make you quiver like your tepid jelly. Yeah, you're friendly, I'm penning out a 10 a penny. I always smile, I'm never friendly. I rock a mic, not a gap, but I'll put you to the floor like your Uncle Benny. One more. How many fives do I stitch on a daily? Many, many. Say me, say many, many. How many fives do I stitch on a daily? Many, many. Say me, say many, many. How many fives do I stitch on a daily? Many, many. Say me, say many, many. How many fives do I stitch on a daily? Many, many, say we say many, fucking many.
That was a cut from our guest Barker, How Many Fives. The new EP is out and the clothing line, check it out. That's called Brain Bucket. But right now, it's open mic time.
Yep, that's right, mother lovers. You know what time it is. We got, so Barker's involved.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, pull that mic up, man. Don't be afraid.
Well,
all right, and hello. We also got Strizzy Strauss.
Yeah.
What are you saying, bruv?
I'm good, man. How are you, man?
Yeah, good, man. Always. You know, it's a slightly gloomy Monday, but we're good because of the royal wedding. You know what I mean?
Allegedly.
No, we're not.
Allegedly.
How are you, bruv?
I'm all right, man. There's a nice trip down here. It's nice to get out of Leicester, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so Leicester. You're in Leicester as well?
Yeah.
You know our brother, Lloyd Luther?
Yeah, they're my dons, man. Stanza Divine, wicked. Lloyd, Comprehend, all them, man. There. Yeah, I know them, man.
And so you got this EP, The Art of Summarizing Life.
Yeah.
When did this come out?
Last October.
Last October.
Yeah.
How's it been going? Good?
It's been all right. I'm pushing it to the wheels fall off.
Wicked. So, no, that's how to do it, though.
I'm working on an album at the moment still, so yeah. I just want to get the most out of that.
Wicked, man. You ready for this open mic, yeah?
Yeah, man.
All right. And then we got Starboy Sun Sun.
Yeah. Well, go on, peeps.
Explain the name, man. Starboy Sun Sun.
My name's Sunai. So I just word flipped my name.
Nice. And so you from Leicester as well?
Yeah, I'm from Leicester.
Well, we got some MCs coming out of Leicester, bro. You're not causing trouble down in London.
taking over.
It's good to see them, man.
It's gotta be done, man.
So you're featured on the EP as well, but you're working on solo stuff?
Yeah. I have some tunes out on Spotify and that they're singles, but I'm working on... I got two... free mixtapes and my EP that's dropping soon. Still.
People are on that. Who is it? There's some guy, I can't remember what his name is, but people are saying that he's like put out 50 mixtapes since he started, which 50. Was like 2 years ago or some crazy shit. I can't remember the guy's name, but this is what you, when you're talking like, yeah, I've got two, three.
I have two because I sing as well, so the one mixtape would be more Badman vibesy. Kind of
Badman vibes.
You know, no, it's more for the man then basically. Mm-hmm. And then you got the Afro beats, more R&B kind of thing on the second one. So that's why there's two.
See what Awate was speaking about earlier, about how the different black genres of music now are starting to mix and blend, isn't it?
Yeah, man. I was raised on that music though, innit? So naturally. I listened to that music from my mum, so naturally it came into the music I create as well.
That's heavy, man.
Yeah, man.
Right, so we're about to get into this, innit?
Open.
Man like Barker,
yo,
Strizzy Strauss, Starboy Sun Sun. Who we got on the beat this week?
I Am Monkey is holding it down this week. You guys ready to do this?
Yeah, we're ready.
Yo.
Right, Starboy Sun Sun, you kicking it off, right?
Okay.
You know, don't be afraid to talk into the mic, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Shit.
The hip-hop show, Fubar Radio.
All I need is one mic, like my name is Nas. Jaja told me that the world is yours, so I'll create the path. If I rule the world, brother, I'll still keep it trill. But the Babylon, the one fits me like I'm Lauryn Hill. That New York state of mind, that's the bread and bone to kill. Lyrics, it was written, check my flavour, now I'm in your grill. Like the food up in your barbecue, bless you like I pardon you. Feeding you the message, now these other rappers starving you. So I guess I write a ode to myself. Steady paying back the dues that I owe to myself. This is payback for the times you overlook me. My mob's deep with these lyrics, so these man are shook G. Man are shook ones, I break out and brook one. I street and crush runs, I flame on and crush duns. I shell, tell the don that I'm Donatello. Under the loud, it's the saying hello. It's the saying hello. Yeah, it's the saying hello. Yeah, it's the saying hello.
Yo. See rappers chasing peas while they're only getting mushy. When I'm on the mic, I see the crowd getting pushy. I don't shave often, so the scruff stay bushy. She had a nice figure and a super tight flow. Now if you didn't know, I kick it with precision, cause the kiddie's spitting ribbons from the visions that he's given. In the path of the gods, creep like a fox in the winter blizzard, just off stage, and she's begging me to stick it in her. I'm only PG when I brew my TG. Out here grinding, just trying to get my PG. I'm never PC, but heading for the hell of it.
sit and tell a bitch she can never leave me with her knees clean. Blow my snotty nose, turn a tissue to a masterpiece. Ear to the ground to find a rapper half as hard as me. Try to walk on water, but I can't help but part the sea. You can see me glowing like I'm Tony Stark's heart machine.
Trying to be a man in a land there ain't too many of us. When daddy left and my uncles never really bothered. When mommy did that thing, but Epps was the role model. I used to watch in the club, always popping bottles. Misguided but five, stay out of the stripes. Holders ringing my line, we're going out tonight. Him ran give me his shines, he taught me rock and right. Anyone tries a ting, you best to take his life. It's peer pressure when bears test ya. Man are moving with goons and plus I know better. I bag of food in the boot, I'm trying to eat better. I never liked them youths, but now I know better. No desert, plan to keep us all lesser. No better than slaves, it's like we don't matter. They won't show us the way, but man, I follow Judger. Forever making them moves, I'm like a Don Dada. Burn cars, Cytex on the door frame. A band of flats, rats, cats, and more pain. In hallways, we scorch grade and taught Danes. Into things I swore down, I won't say. I took a no to the weekend. Cause right now I'm broke, I'm in the deep end. I need peace to further my dream, to further my reach, to help nurture my seed.
Call me Starboy, moving at the speed of light, it's greatness. On the mic when people see me rhyme, you're about to see me shine brighter than the summer's day. Brothers love to block your ambition cause they love to hate. Time is money so I pay them no mind. Others don't wind like a yo-yo, blowing on this fucking haze. I spit heat and rip beats like rip sheets. You don't wanna try with I, I'm on another wave surfing. Like I'm here on the internet, my intellect is here to share, so let me interject. I'm about to intercept the money from the rich and wealthy and take it for myself like a flipping selfie. Living life, but I feel like it ain't right yet. So I write less when my mind's stressed. I rhyme fresh, I swear to you, my life's blessed. Negative vibes, man, I like, but I digress. I eat beats and digest, shitting on these rappers like a. I see the bitch in all these rappers. I can see the snitch in all these rappers. Hold on one more. Yo, check. Writing bars for me is getting too easy. It's like the scene's got cataracts. It's cause it's like they don't see me. Got me stressing cause my life's mad. Bars up on my iPad. Raps I gotta spray. I'm gotta lay onto your iMac. Damn, I'm feeling nice. Got this Henny mixed with Sprite. Killing rappers like Kenny. Anytime I touch the mic, I'm bad. Like I'm Mike. It's like I'm Iron Mike. I got punchlines for take you out your shoes or your Nikes. I'm still living in the fucked state. Trying to change my life. That's a shout out to my dons. When I scheme, I do it right. They call me Starboy son and I'm a genius. With rhymes that shine bright. Like my namesake gleaming in the sky, yeah. Me happy tell you I'm a fly kid. I stay IPR head up in my iris. Nowadays all these rappers wanna lie quick. These rappers don't fly birds, man, are nice kids.
After twat for a laugh, spitting in this dingy city. I'm the kiddie tracking down my dinner with a sticky willy. Look, I'm just kidding, kiddie, like to spit my written silly. Stuck in cross-town traffic while I'm sitting here with Jimmy. All the path of gods while I'm shadowing Colossus. Flexing in a party, frocking off my fucking rocker. Sing the blues to you today, the devil's in my roster. While I'm hiding from my jackal, cause I love my inner monster. I beat meats with cheap cheese and eat these weak MCs like Greek meats. Do you feel me? Speak heat freeze through crooked teeth and bleached teeth. Girls' knees weak and your boys say that I'm mean G. Strolled out the gaff with a whiskey and cig. While I'm looking like a love child, a postie and scrim. When the faders stay tucked like I'm Invader Zim. These fuckers dressing like they type motherload in The Sims. Look man, it's been one hell of a drive. Keep your mind off that ego for it eats you alive. See, in tonight's light we could all be sublime. Or left below in the rapture and watching them fly. Ah, so save your breath. You fucks are getting laid to rest. The letter saying I'm the best was etched across your lady's chest, penned it with a razor's edge and sparked up a baby's leg. Sat with a heavy bag of tracks and a brain to cleanse.
One of the realest from the city in a minute. I keep it drill when I spit without the gimmicks. It's for the culture, for them vultures, man, they're licking shots. Headshots when the head is off, the body drops. Make them sick with your confidence, kill them with your happiness. Any shift in ambience, I'm vanishing. Ain't no time for their ignorance, they say a brother's arrogant. If they knew a brother, then they'd know I'm not. What they think I am, I'm a thinker, man. I think about the things we lack and how to get them back. I think about the time we lost, true, we didn't chat. And now we do, it's kind of weak, or fam, it's just a man. But that's another track, another hook, another rap. My brother told me bring it back to where it started at. Starter caps, click suits and a bit of yak.
Weed smoke, couple G's and a little flap. Hieroglyphics, man, I scribe on a loose sheet. Shizzy shots, I channel words, I let my soul speak. On the mic, I let the vibe take a hold of me. And through my rhymes, I recite what my mind sees. Living fast, triggers bang, where them brothers jam. In the trap, bare fees, doing hella crack. I've been to hell and back, I got the bucket hat. Them brothers chat, but see me, I'm trying to limit that. A couple bigger gaff, big ups to my brother Saf. In them flats, he showed a brother how to bring it back. And I gave it back, told him, man, I'm trying to rap. That ain't my team, man, I'm trying to put us on the map. From local to global, vocals, they fill shows. I'm birth sons, trying to bite our brother's flow. I birth dons in the booth, man, and little bros. It gives me joy when I see a brother trying to grow as high as they can. Trying to fly to Japan, do a couple shows, get live with a band. Stack a couple racks, spend time with the fam. Living out my dreams, showing brothers that they can.
Yeah. 10 to 2 in the morning and I'm not writing still. I write these tracks, it's like I got the right to kill. I write these lyrics like an old man writes his will. Thoroughly and patiently, write and chill. Like my trees, like a forest fire, high for real. Half a million, I'm never gonna sign your deal. I rhyme with skill, like I'm Pele playing footy. Ain't got time to go to bookies, fam, I'm trying to make this money. I had to do it for my city though. I had to do it, had to hit you with that drizzy flow. Mommy taught me not to fight over no silly. I told my pops to watch me, this shit, see me grow like the trees and the leaves. I ain't living right yet, but will I fam before I leave this earth, all my people know they're worth. Damn right they're fucking willing, I'ma put it on my word, shit. I'm about to show you how to rap. I'm about to show you how to. I'm about to show you how to rap.
Without life, there's no death. Without death, I'd get no sleep. Work all day and then write all night mostly. Some get a bit of fame and then they wanna work slowly. See, I'm riding for a crash like a bike riding ghosty. Don't tell me my P's and Q's. Hush, darling, trying to put the D in you. See, I'm a nice guy, but on the mic, I'm rude and put a pussy in a box like it's Chinese food. So don't mind me while I dilute my blood flow. Know that I've been sipping on that enough red rum though. Fake fuck pop stars can suck one and die slow, screaming for their life in a snuff sex blood dome. Throwing flame doodoo at blaze students, debating nuisance, ace of spades, tuning abrasive movements. You step into us, you come to smelly like tuna bloomers with summer loon. These days I can't escape all these waste losers like brain tumors in the rain, drooling over tunes I've been racking up. Don't mean to put it blunt, but you man are whack as fuck. Know me from the offiest, the skateboarder, rapper, punk. Man, I'm so hot, I made the ink in your pen erupt.
My family ain't too different from most, we fit the stat quo. Flat broke, aggressive, a lack of hope. My brother's back on road, trapping, trying to stack his dough. My sister's got two youths, her man's an arsehole. Papa's gone, I'm depressed and I feel lost. I thank the Lord for my grand, cause she gives a toss. It's peer pressure for kicks, that's got me living in sin. So I can fit in the ring and be a cool kid. Lit skiffs get passed round, juice gets tipped out. My don's been kicked out, his mom's crib. For a lack of respect, he tried to big up his chest. She told his Ross to step, and now he's homeless. It's loud music with bass lines, FIFA and FaceTime, working them bait lines with no fear. Adolescent dreams, peas in a shoebox. Realities, nicking fiends at the phone box. Never was the smartest in class, they used to call me dumb. Sitting tests, I did my best, still I failed them. Bottom set with the plebs and a couple tugs. Got me stressed when these vets, cause I'm fucking up. And growing up illiterate, such an idiot. With low self-esteem, I'm too hesitant. And no confidence, my nervousness is evident. And ever since my daddy left, I'm sick of everything. But teachers never cared, I never shared my deepest fears. Quick to label me bad, when really I was scared. A class clown with an attitude, you ain't my mum. I lack a discipline, piss me off, you'll catch
up. Yo. That was fucking insane, you lot. We running out of time, though. If you'd have started, then it would have stopped and it would have been all awkward and that. Yo, shout out to the MCs, man. Barker, up in the building. Starboy, Sun, Strizzy Strauss. Shouts to Iron Monkey on the beat. Guys, how can we get hold of you, first of all?
Yo, my name's Strizzy Strauss. I'm on all the socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It's Strizzy Strauss. SoundCloud, Strizzy, everything's Strizzy Strauss. Just search that. Respect, man.
On all social media, I am at Starboy Sumsum. Okay, fine.
We gotta get you lot back and do like a Leicester cypher, I think, man.
Yeah, let's do Leicester cypher.
For sure, man.
Yo, there's loads of spitters in Leicester, man.
That's crazy.
I love the honesty of your last verse there. That was dope.
Yeah, man. And Barker, how can we get hold of you?
King Barker the Fifth on Twitter and Instagram. Just Barker on Facebook. Barker on SoundCloud as well. And also, I've got a new collab project out with Monk from Rad Times on Rad Times Promotion, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, all that. Thank you.
All you MCs, if you want to get on the open mic and smack, make sure you can do it though, like these lot did, yeah? Hit us up, hiphop@foodbarradio.com, with the subject saying open mic. All you got to do is send one link to a YouTube or a SoundCloud tune, one of your best tunes that show you can actually cipher, not all that singing and all that blah, blah, blah. We want you to rap on here, yeah? All you beat makers, if you want to send in your beats and get on here like I Am Monkey, it's hiphop@foodbarradio.com with a subject saying open mic beat. And all you got to do is really simple. You attach 4 1-minute snippets to the email, you send it. Yeah, and then we get back to you. Don't do all this weird. People are doing some weird shit now. Not, yeah, here's a sweet transfer link that goes to the SoundCloud that comes back to outer space. Like, bruv, just attach 4 beats. That's it. That's all you got to do. Thank you.
Simples. Thank you so much, guys. That was a dope session.
That was wicked, man. I really enjoyed that, my bad.
Yeah. Shouts out to Owate also on the show. I Am Monkey. Shouts out to
Jack Oaks.
Everyone locked into the show. I didn't manage to get through all of your shouts out. If you missed anything today, listen back, foodbarradio.com/show/hiphop, like the argument. And shouts out to you for tuning into the show, because this show really is about you guys. Up next on Foodbar, you got Michael Payne, Taking Care of You. And let's leave you with a little taste of that brand new album from Swellington Piff. This is featuring Scores, is it?
He's on BBA. Next week as well,
exactly. And we're going to be joined in the studio by Swellington Piff next week.
Ruled by the numbers. Numero uno. Third perception, flew by the bird's direction, then pulled you out of the third dimension. It's all a rig from the first election, and that's word from the first intention. Second to none, the lesson will come, a blessing to some, the stress and the time. She wanna mess with my mind, I'm not the one, I'm not inclined. She jumped the gun, ruled by the number 8. You wonder why I'm running circles of late and lost virtue. 10 bars of rhyme, 9 bars of herbal, divide that. 4 shots before bed, a nightcap. 1 dead, 1 born, first contact. Flying through the eye of the storm. 5 bottles on the wall, all drunk up, and I ain't even started to warm. Ruled by the numbers, don't be fooled by the sums.
As long as there's air in our lungs, we got funds. What if the Big Bang was one breath and we just make